The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow. Berger. Berger. Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Flickrey.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell. Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman. Connolly. Davison.
Here.
Eklund. Esquivel. Filer. Freeman. Gay. Gingery. Goggles. Greer. Green. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Hunt. Hutchings. Yagi. Kasparic. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone.
Here.
Larson. Larson. Lockhart.
Here.
Laux. Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Wallace.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Barlow.
Excuse.
Barlow excused. Campbell.
Here.
Coleman.
Excuse.
Coleman excused. Eklund.
Here.
Greer. Greer excused. Harvey.
Excused.
Harvey excused. Larson.
Excused.
Larson excused. Laux.
Here.
55 present, 5 excused.
The prayer today is offered by Father August Caney, representing St. Mary's Cathedral, Cheyenne. Let us pray. A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience is both a human and a spiritual virtue. It could be a sister to kindness. Patience is steadfast in the midst of struggle. It always shows good sense and brings peace to discord. Patient has a gentle tongue and is always forbearing. Lord God of heaven and earth, you have created all things with great wisdom and love. Give us patience with each other, especially when we struggle with difficult issues. Help us to have the patience and good sense. Help us to realize that each person has their strengths and their shortcomings. Help us to realize that each bill has a strength and flaws. And with a patient ear and a patient heart and a sharp mind, we can bring much fruit from the decisions we make here. Amen.
Thank you.
We're at that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 15th, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representatives Filer and Winters.
We're at that order of business of privileges of the floor, Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 62nd, I would like to introduce to you some special young gentlemen who are going to be here helping us today. Maddox Cruz, stand up Maddox, and Ezra Cruz are first and second graders at Sunflower Elementary in Gillette, Wyoming. They're my grandsons. And somewhere, stand up, Megs. This is my daughter, Megan Cruz. Megan is a heavy equipment operator at Rawhide Mine. Her husband works at Dry Fork. And she and her team, she's an EMT, their mine rescue team won the international mine rescue competition last summer. And this fall, they get to go to Fernie, British Columbia, and compete in the biannual global mine rescue competition. So please welcome them.
Gentlemen, welcome to the House. I was talking to them about Sunflower Elementary, and one of them likes their counselor, Mrs. Lubnow, and the other one doesn't. It's my pleasure to welcome Senator John Barrasso back to the Wyoming Legislature. As you know, he served the legislature from 2002 until 2006 before being sworn into the United States Senate in 2007. He's currently serving on the U.S. Senate's Energy and Natural Resources Committee, the Environmental and Public Works Committee, the Indian Affairs Committee, and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He also serves as Chairman of the Senate Republican Policy Committee and Chairman of the Senate Western Caucus. Please join me in welcoming our good friend home, United States Senator John Barrasso. No, you got to hit this till the green button comes on. Thank you so much for hi Rosie, how are you? Good. Thanks so much for allowing me to be back with you for just a couple of minutes today. I know Senator Enzi and I are both here today, and we always love getting back to the Wyoming Legislature because we started here, Cynthia started here, and we think it was the best training ground for anybody to go and serve in Washington. Absolutely a wonderful place to learn the lessons, and you know what they are. It's, you know, it's balance the budget every year, which you do, have bills on single topics and amendments that are germane, and that there's a role for government, but it's a limited role, limited in size, limited in scope, limited in what we spend. So I just wanted to be back here. I was walking and went to the Capitol Club because no visit to the legislature is really true unless you've stopped and saw your friends at the Capitol Club. And somebody said, how are things in Washington? And I said, well, they're always better in Wyoming, always. So it's wonderful to be back here. I wanted to just take a second to congratulate you. And, you know, I listened to the to Father give the invocation, and he talked about patience, patience in listening, patience in hearing on things. But I also want to congratulate you for something that goes beyond that, and that's really having the backbone, having the heart, having the nerve, and having the guts to stand up for what's right in terms of for Wyoming vision, Wyoming values, and voting that way. And so often folks in Washington say, if you just give us a little more power, give us a little more of your money, then things are going to be a lot better. But the people of Wyoming have never been deceived by that. And when you spend time in the Wyoming legislature, you see all of the strings that are attached for the things that come out of Washington. And when I was in the legislature, some folks referred to it as bribery, others to blackmail. But you knew that it wasn't necessarily what you wanted. So I just wanted to congratulate each and every one of you for standing strong, being firm, and continuing with the code of ethics, the code of the West, which is now the Wyoming state code. Live each day with courage. Take pride in your work. Know where to draw the line. I mean, you know all 10 of them. Well, one for me that I try to use is speak less
and say more. So I just wanted to thank you for letting me be with you today. I brought a flag that I had flown over the U.S. Capitol in honor of our speaker, Tom Lubnow, and I would like to present that to him and ask each and every one of you to join me in congratulating Tom for his incredible efforts on behalf of all of the people of Wyoming and specifically the Wyoming legislature. Thank you, Senator. The flag was unnecessary, but it's always a pleasure to have you back and to have your words of wisdom. Feel free to come back anytime. We're at that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 314, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a light committee, number 1, from the House on amendments to House Bill 102. The Senate conferees are Senator Scott, Chairman, Senator Peterson, Senator Kraft, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
The doctor of the day today is Dr. John Healy, M.D. from Cheyenne. We are at that order of business of adoption of conference committee reports, corrected joint conference committee on the mirror budget bill. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House ratify the action of the Joint Conference Committee on the Mirror Budget Bill, House Bill 1, submitting a corrected copy of the Joint Conference Committee report, and that the House adopt the corrected copy to replace and supersede the report adopted on February 15th, 2013.
You have heard the motion. It is debatable. Chairman Harshman, if you'd explain the change.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, in your tray, you'll find two pieces of information. The first one has a colored graph, and it's two-sided. So that one, if you could pull that out. The second one is a stapled, typed copy that at the top says change proposed to the JCC report. Those have been distributed in your tray. So I'll wait till we kind of have. Mr. Speaker, I think, folks, if you could take the colored copy with the graph first and then turn it over, the back side of that, flip that over. It says budget JCC corrected copy. Now, just to return down to memory lane last week, the House position was a 1% pay raise to school employees, a 1% retention payment similar to state employees. But the House position said that since many school employees are on a step salary increase, that any increase they get would be offset by the 1%. So the idea was to make sure that if a school district could not give steps, or there was an employee in the school district that did not receive a step or any kind of salary increase, that they would at least get a 1% retention payment, similar to what we did with state employees, University of Wyoming Community Colleges. So that was the House position. The Senate position was to simply give a 1% regardless to everyone, 1% of this year's salary to all school employees. Okay, so between those two positions, we conferenced in the Budget Conference Committee. And so, like most conferences, you had our House position, 1% offset by any local increases, and the Senate's on this other extreme, where 1% on top of any pay increases. We conferenced in the middle, and we talked about 0.4%, the 1% times a 0.4%, and how this, in effect, worked out for three groups, three scenarios. Imagine the first scenario, number one, is where a school employee does not get any salary increase. The state would step in then and give the 1% retention bonus, just like we were doing with all state employees. So that's scenario one. That's easy. The problem with the budget bill was crafted, we had a mistake, is in the second group. And the second group is if they get some kind of salary increase, but it's not equal to 1%. Okay, so that, what we all intended is that the state would come in and give, make up the remainder, so that employee got 1%. That was our House position. And then we adopted in JCC that what we thought we adopted was we would make up that 1%, the state would, and then anything that was left over that was not used in this makeup to get to 1%, we would multiply times 0.4 and give that also to the employee. And then the third group was simply those folks who got a step that is more than 1%, we would take that 1% times 0.4. So they would, in effect, get their step times a 0.4. So there's three groups. Really, the mistake came in this group in the middle. And in your, and you can read that, I think, of the second bullet here on the back side of the colored page. It says that the language did not fall within the two positions. And that's the bottom line. When we go to negotiate, we have the Senate position, the House position. We can stay in between those two in terms of the money, but we can't go outside that. And we inadvertently, with the language, the way it was drafted and what we adopted last week, went beyond that. And thus, this corrected language is before you. So, Mr. Speaker, if members could take the second handout that is stapled, you can see it's broken into three groups, so you don't have to dig back through your Joint Conference Committee and find the old language. On top is the old language. Okay, and you can see it's 1% authorized shall reduce by 60%, and then paragraph Romanet 2, less than 1%, the retention incentive payment shall be 4/10 of the employee's base salary plus the entire difference between 1% and 4%. So what we did there with that Romanet 2, we put in a perverse incentive for school districts to give like a $1 raise to all employees, and then the state would step in and give 1.4%. That's the way that reads. That was never our intent. It was not our position at any point. In fact, we don't have the budget, the money budgeted to do that. It would probably roll it well beyond that $8.8 million on the Senate side. So that's really the piece that needs corrected, is in Romanet 2. But if you read Romanet 1, it talks about that reduction by 60%, which in effect means 0.40 is left. Well, we wanted to clean that up so there was no doubt about it. So the new language showing the proposed changes is in the next, in the middle of the page, members. Romanet 1, you can see we scratched out the 60% and put up to 40% of the full retention, so it reads the same as the new Romanet 2. In addition, these qualifying school districts, employees may receive up to 40% of the difference between the full retention incentive payment and the amount provided on the preceding sentence. And so that's that difference. They'll get 0.40 of what's left over of the state difference. And so then you can see the new language that we would adopt. Then you see the old language, the changes, and at the bottom of the page, the new language that we will adopt, we'd like to adopt in the corrected copy. And then finally, members, the attached second page is just the exact language, how it will appear in the bill, in the budget bill, what page it goes in, and those kind of things. So I would stand for any questions, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to Chairman Harshman giving another brief explanation. Question being called. We're voting on ratifying the action of the Joint Conference Committee on the Mirror Budget Bill by submitting a corrected copy of the Joint Conference Committee report, and that the Senate and House adopt a corrected copy to replace and supersede the report adopted February 15, 2003. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow. Barlow excused. Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman. Excused. Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey excused. Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson excused. Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen. Reeder. Semlick. Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne. Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Byrd, no to aye. Are there Miller, aye to no? Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 50 aye, 6 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have ratified the action on the Joint Conference Committee on the Mirror Budget Bill by submitting a corrected copy of the Joint Conference Committee report to that Senate that the Senate House adopt to replace a corrected copy and supersede the report adopted February 15, 2013. That was easy to say. We are now at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 69, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Esquivel, Harshman, Moniz, Stebson, Wallace, one excused, Representative Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 48, Engrossed, Medical Assistance Hospice Care, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasparic, Larson, Throne, and Wilson, signed by Representative Green, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 103, Engrossed, Electronic Cigarettes, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasparic, Larson, Throne, and Wilson, signed by Representative Green, Vice Chairman.
It is with great honor and privilege to welcome Senator Mike Enzi back to the Wyoming Legislature. Senator Enzi served in the Wyoming House from 1987 until 1996 and also served in the State Senate from 1992 until 1996. He was sworn to the United States Senate in 1997 and has been serving the people of Wyoming there ever since. He currently serves on the United States Senate's Committee on Budget, Committee on Finance, Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship, and Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. Please help me welcome the man who used to sell me my tennis shoes, United States Senator Mike Enzi.
It's always great to come back and visit the legislature. It's always old home week and one of my favorite days of the whole year. Diane and I are always pleased to be here. We're in Wyoming most weekends, traveling a different part of the state, and so we get to see a lot of the state, but this is a very specific time of year that we love to come back and visit. As you know, our whole delegation got their training in this room and the room on the other end. And we're trying to take the same messages back to Washington that we learned here. If we could operate the way the Wyoming legislature does, the federal government would really be in good shape. They don't like a simple approach, though, so it's a little tough. I thank you for what you do and the way that you do it. I know that this is really tough, that you put in a lot of hours that people don't even realize, and that right now you're living on adrenaline. And when that adrenaline leaves after the day after you leave here, I know how the body kind of collapses. And it's hard to even talk for a couple of days. But thanks for what you do on that. And I know that you're familiar with the expression that friends come and go, but enemies accumulate. And I'm sure you're feeling that at this point in the session. But keep on doing what's right, doing your best, and treating others as you think they want to be treated. So I'm on a listening trip around Wyoming now. This is a recess. I prefer to call it a work period. But we're traveling several thousand miles around Wyoming doing listening sessions. And how's that different than what I've done before? Well, when you have a town meeting, you speak a lot at the beginning, and that kind of focuses the comments that the people make. This is a listening session. I don't make those comments. I let them tell me what they think should be happening. And it's really a great way to hold the meetings. I'm getting some great suggestions that I'll be hauling back to Washington. They're good common sense suggestions, so I don't know if they'll go very far there. But I've been working on a mantra back in Washington that's beginning to catch on. And that mantra is, it's time to stop deal-making and start legislating. We've had a problem where we've had 2 or 4 or 10 or 12 people go off and make the decisions for 535 people and come back at the edge of the contrived crisis so that all we can do is vote up and down. And there aren't a lot of choices involved in that, and it irritates almost everybody. So I've been preaching committee work, and committees work. That's where most of the people that have an intense interest in an idea, as you know, sign up for a committee, and they have a great chance of noticing unintended consequences. I remember working on my first bill here. I was in this body, and it was a simple bill. It was only 3 sentences, and it went to committee, and it was amended 3 times, and it came here to the floor, and it was amended twice, and it went to committee on the Senate side, and it was amended 2 more times. It didn't get amended on the floor there, and it passed. And what I realized from that process was that every one of those changes was good. It made the bill better, made it a little more comprehensive, but it made it more comprehensible, too, and got rid of some of the unintended consequences. So we need to stop deal-making and start legislating and get back to the committee process. And I'm having some success on that now, too. Quite by accident, one of the senators said, "You got a lot of things done with Kennedy. How did you get those done?" And I was explaining to him. He says, "You got them written down anywhere?" I said, "Well, I suppose so." And so I went back and dug them out and had an opportunity to pass that out. And Vicki Kennedy happened to be there and asked if she could have a copy. And I gave her a copy. And the next day was Senator Inouye's funeral at National Cathedral, and she sat in the row right ahead of me, and was exclaiming about how to get things done in this paper that I'd written, and said I need to go on a national speaking tour with it. I said, oh, I can't do that. I don't speak. But at any rate, people around her heard it, and so some of the other committee chairmen asked for copies of it, and eventually Senator Reed asked for a copy of it, so I made sure McConnell had one too. But Senator Baucus came to me later and said, I don't know what you said to Senator Reed, but we're going to get to do committee work. Now, that's the Finance Committee. That's where we make the tax changes. And in the last 2 years, we didn't mark up a single bill. So we're going to get to actually mark up bills. And it's very exciting. I think it's exciting for the country. Now, I'd be more pleased if we didn't try to do things comprehensive. Comprehensive means so large that nobody can understand it, and so big that you can tuck things in that maybe people won't notice until it's too late. And that's not the right way to legislate. The one topic to a bill that you do, great idea. Amendments that have to relate to that bill, great idea. You know, and back in the Senate, we can do any amendment we want to on any bill we want to. And all that does is gum up the system. But I also am asked about compromises, and I don't do compromises. Compromise, in my opinion, is where I give up half of what I believe in, and you give up half of what you believe in, and you wind up with something that nobody believes in. And in fact, in Washington, the idea of compromise is it's a compromise if you've been compromised. And that never works. When I was getting the bills done with Kennedy, I remember McConnell once coming up to me and saying, getting a lot of these done, what are you giving away to Kennedy? I said, well, why don't you ask Kennedy? So later when I saw McConnell, I said, so what did he tell you? He said, well, Enzi really doesn't give up anything. He just wears me down. And actually what we were doing was trying to get down to the 80% that was common ground. I have found that we can believe in 80% of the issues. And if we stick to that 80%, we can work on any one of those issues. And we can achieve 80% of that issue. And 80% in Washington would be a lot, as opposed to nothing. And that's often what we get when we try to get into those things. And one of the ways we can stop being so comprehensive is to take things a step at a time. And I think a lot of things would pass in that same format. I think immigration can be taken care of if it's done a step at a time. Some of the things would not pass. But if you start with the easy ones and get the momentum going, a lot of things can happen. I did suggest that Simpson Bowles be done in steps. I'm pretty sure it could have gotten out of committee with the number of votes that it needed had it been done in four parts, with all four being voted on. And one of the reasons is I know how people vote, and I know that some of them would have said, I voted against that part that was bad. I just didn't have enough votes to kill it. And the compromise of 1850, if you go back and look at the history of that, that's when they were trying to solve some of the slavery issues in the country. Henry Clay put himself in the hospital trying to pass a comprehensive bill on that. He had seven parts, and pretty much people agreed with all seven parts. So after he got in the hospital, other people took it over. They did it one part at a time. All the parts passed. There were only four people that voted for all the parts. So there are different ways of legislating, and that's what you do so well. We had a hearing this last week on health care exchanges, and I know you've talked a little bit about that here. And it was one of the most intense hearings that I've seen. But it was with both the Democrats and the Republicans being on the same side. Now, you may not know that I got an amendment in the health care bill, one of the very few amendments that the Republicans got in the health care bill, that said that Congress is going to have to abide by the same system as everybody else. So come January 1st, we'd get kicked out of the federal health system and into whatever system everybody else is going to be on. And that's health care exchanges. That would be kind of like the Wyoming legislature, too. You're part-time. You have to live under the laws that you pass. They affect you the same way as everybody else. Well, that's the way it ought to work in Washington, too. But we got to interview the person that's in charge of the federal health exchange. And one of the difficulties that was upsetting everybody is the rules for the basic package haven't been determined yet. Now, how do you write a program to help people pick their insurance if you don't know what the basic package is? What the bottom level is. Well, there's a way that we could have gotten around that. We could have allowed anybody that wanted to sell insurance to come on the market, and then once a basic package was determined, put asterisks by those that didn't meet the basic package. But that's not how it's going to work, and they promised it. They've already tested it. We asked for a list of the people that had been tested on so we could find out how well it worked for them. That list is not available. But come January 1st, we'll see how it works. But I know that the states that accepted money and worked on their own health care exchange are having quite a problem with it. And we're going to wind up with 26 or so different programs out there, each at very high expense, to do something similar. And there had to be a better way to do that. One thing would have been not to have a mandate. But I want to conclude with a little lesson in math that you've kind of already been through this. Wyoming's funded its highways primarily from gas tax. And the United States has done its funding primarily from gas tax. But we kind of got away from that, and we ran out of gas tax because it hasn't been raised since 1992. And I did propose one. I was told that we don't do tax increases, so we weren't allowed to vote on it in committee, and we weren't allowed to vote on it on the floor. So you've gone much further than we have on it. But here's how we funded the highway bill. You'll be fascinated by this. We raised a tax. We raised a huge tax on the private sector for people who have pensions for their employees. Now, the purpose of the tax was to ensure that if a business goes out of business, the people would get 60% of what they were promised. And there's a trust fund set up for these monies to flow into so that if a business goes out of business, the money will be there. But it's like any other federal trust fund. Don't trust it. The money does not flow into the trust fund. The money goes into the highway fund. And that's what we're going to build highways with for the next 2 years. But we're going to capture that tax for the next 10 years. Now, how do you build something with revenue you're expecting 10 years in the future? Let's see, you're not allowed to obligate the next legislature, are you? I think that's in our Constitution just as well. But that's the kind of accounting that's happening in Washington. So the promises that have been made on Medicaid, which I know you've also had to wrestle with, I don't think we're going to be able to come through with those promises. I think the sequester is going to happen. Now, there'll be a huge outcry because we didn't prioritize so that people would have to take the things that they do worst first. Instead, they'll be taking what they do best first, and there'll be a clamor across the United States, and so shortly after sequester goes into effect, there'll be a reversal on it. But all that sequester does is get us back to the 2008 spending levels, which was before the TARP spending and before the two stimulus bills and before Dodd-Frank and the several other things that have dramatically increased our spending in Washington. So it's where we need to be. The trick is to get the spending cut the right way. So keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing it well. And I do know the sacrifices that you're making in order to get it done. And I really appreciate that. And thanks for the training that our whole delegation got here. We're the only delegation that gets together on a regular basis, and we think it increases our output substantially, and most of the other ones don't even like each other. But we had the same training, and that really helps. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Senator Enzi, for your kind words and guidance. I find him to be my most critical constituent.
Mr. Speaker?
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Quick privilege of the floor. I guess I'd like to point out that I tended to buy my shoes from Diana, not from the good senator. But.
We are at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. Whoa. Oh, I'm sorry. Hope you got in the way.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Connolly.
A quick privilege of the floor.
Please.
I believe that we have with us the parent leadership group from Albany County here today, and could I say hello? Could we say hello to them? Okay. Or they left.
Welcome to the House. Anyone else for privilege of the floor? Okay, now we're at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill. The first message for our consideration is message number 292 on House Bill 156. Chairman Semlach.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on House Bill 156 and ask for your no vote. The issue in this bill had to do with the movement of livestock in emergency situations. And going back into the bill on page 3, subsection D, it says the following: notwithstanding any other provision of this section, a person, firm, partnership, corporation, or association may move livestock to another county in this state in the case of an emergency situation declared or recognized by the board. That was our language, by the board, emergency situation declared by the board. The conference concurrence report suggested on the other body had changed the declaration to the director instead of our position, which was the board. I've talked to some of the members of the committee that heard this bill and some others, and we believe that we'd like to go back and visit with the Senate and try to reaffirm our position that we think that this emergency situation should be declared by the board. It won't have any effect on the ability of livestock producers to move their livestock in the event of an emergency, just that who should declare that board. So who should declare that emergency? I would then ask again that for your no vote on concurrence.
Any discussion? Discussion? Hearing none and sensing you're ready to vote, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Blickery.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy. Coleman,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Davison,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
no.
Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kirkbride, Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Pieperinen,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Simlick,
no.
Summers,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Drone,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson, Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 no.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 156. Conference Committee for House Bill 156 will be Semlach, Chairman Hunt, and Walters. The next message for our consideration is message number 303 on House Bill 66. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 303, House Bill 66, and urge your no vote. This finely crafted House bill went to the Senate, and it had some prioritizations. It had some minimum commitments of funding, which reflected what was doable in the ramp-up of the guidance that need to be in place before money was expended. And it got to the Senate, and they changed the funding. They changed the amount. and greatly increased the amount that would come out of the general fund. And so I'd urge your no vote on this so that we can meet with them and better understand what they saw that we didn't see and see if we can't get a better compromise and a conference solution that reflects what's doable and the commitment of the funds at the appropriate point. I urge your no vote.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 66. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Flake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Flickrey.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird. Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Esquivel,
Filer, Filer, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Pieperinen,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Simlick,
no.
Summers,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60, no.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 66. Conference Committee for House Bill 66 will be Lockhart, Chairman, Harshman, and Greer. The next message for our consideration is message number 304 on House Bill 86. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 304 to House Bill 86 and ask for your aye vote. Just to remind you what this bill was about, when we send a child from a court to a psychiatric residential treatment facility, if the judge writes where they're going, Medicaid won't pay for it, and so we end up paying for it. If they leave it out of the order and let it be a medical decision, then Medicaid will pay for it. This adds up to about $6 million per biennium. So this is a pretty important bill because potentially with just this one bill, we save $6 million per biennium on this issue. So the Senate Judiciary actually spent 2 hours just on this bill. And they rewrote it. And I sat through all 2 hours, and they actually did a really good job of getting this bill in really good shape. And they actually invited down a few judges that came, and the judges gave some great insight. And essentially what we had done was made a pretty lengthy procedure. And what the judges stressed was that we were blocking them in too much. So what they ended up doing, so you don't have to figure out what the hell that amendment, it looks sort of lengthy. Really, all they did was delete most of the procedural part and just put in, so now it just reads, any order regarding potential placement at a psychiatric residential treatment facility shall not specify a particular psychiatric residential treatment facility or a level of care for the placement of the child, period. That's essentially what they came down to. That's what we were after. That's what Medicaid, our Medicaid agent was really after to save us that money. And that's going to accomplish it. And we'll continue to work with the judiciary to make sure it gets implemented well. But it's a good change that they worked on, and I'd ask for your aye vote.
Chairman Harvey, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question. Does this retain the MDT team, so the MDT team determines the placement of the child?
Anyone else for their first time? Second time prior to Chairman Gingrey. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The MDT does still stay in place. The MDT makes the recommendation to the department, and then the department determines if it's medically necessary. And that was the distinction between, was it legally necessary or medically necessary? And we got to get to the medical in order for Medicaid to pay. So it's still going to work the way we wanted it to work, but we're going to leave a little bit more latitude for the courts to make this work.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 86. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay,
Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 86. The next message for our consideration is message number 305 on House Bill 95. Chairman Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence on message number 305 to House Bill 95 and ask for your aye vote. Basically, the body at the other end of the hall has done some wordsmithing, and basically they've taken out the distance and they put in that a highway crossing emits an audible signal in accordance with Federal Railroad Administration requirements, and we believe that is a good amendment. I talked to the sponsor on the bill, and he said it's a great amendment, so I would ask for your aye vote.
Any other discussion? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 95. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay,
Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments on House Bill 95. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 128. Chairman Davison. Is message number 307 on House Bill 128. Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 307 to House Bill 128. And I encourage you to vote aye on this. All that happened is they added knowingly into two places there that said that you wouldn't import
Wyoming or possess any source of wildlife without knowing, and he just added knowingly in there instead of in front of shall. So I'd encourage your aye vote on that.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 128. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow. Berger. Blake. Blevins. Flickery. Brown. Burkhart. Bird. Campbell. Kennedy. Kennedy. Coleman. Connolly. Davison. Eklund. Esquivel. Esquivel. Filer. Freeman. Gay. Gingery. Goggles. Greer. Green. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Hunt. Hutchings. Yagi. Kasparic. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Patton. Paxton. Petroff. Pipirinen. Reeder. Simlett. Summers. Stubson. Teeters. Throne. Wallace. Walters. Watt. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 128. The next message for our consideration is message number 249 on, or message number 309 on House Bill 249. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the concurrence report, message 309 on House Bill 249, and ask the members to vote no on this concurrence. And this deal, House Bill 249 is a budget reduction implementation for the tax refund for the elderly and disabled and for payments to counties for county and prosecuting attorneys and assistants. Members, the changes really are on page 2 of the bill, and you can see the concurrence report. What we did in this body, we said that we appropriate X sum of dollars, and we said we divide X in half because we appropriate for 2 years. And so we'd take half the appropriation for the first year. If it pays for all the costs, that's great. If it doesn't, we do a pro rata reduction on year one. And then we said in year two, you have the same amount of money that you had in year one and the same rules. If it pays for all the expenses, that's great. If it does not, there's a pro rata adjustment. And we, our preliminary stuff on the tax refunds, I mean, it would be like, say, $100, you might get 98. I mean, it's a very small amount. But what the Senate's position is to just say, here is the chunk of money. Spend it all up the first year if you want, and what's remaining in the second year of the biennium, then we will go through some sort of pro rata reduction. And so I think we need to talk about it. I think it's a pretty dramatic shift, so I'd encourage your no vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any discussion? We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill number 249. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow,
no.
Berger,
no.
Blake,
no.
Blevins,
no.
Flickery,
no.
Brown,
no.
Burkhart,
no.
Bird,
no.
Campbell,
no.
Kennedy,
no.
Coleman,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Davison,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Filer, Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Gingery conflict, Goggles,
no.
Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone conflict, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Pipirinen, Reeder, Simlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 no, 2 conflict.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 249. Conference Committee for House Bill 249 will be Representative Stubson, Chairman Harshman, and Winters. The second Conference Committee for House Bill 112 will be Representative Madden, Chairman Petroff, and Goggles. Chairman Lockhart, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the privilege of the floor. We have with us today the 10th and 11th grade class of Kelly Walsh in Casper, and the teacher of that class is Sally O'Brien, and she has her students scattered around to the back and to my right. And I would just say this, that I had an opportunity last year after the session to spend, about an hour and a half session with them, and I got a lot more out of them than they got out of me, but it's nice to have you on the House of Representatives, and welcome Kelly Walsh.
Welcome to the House. The next message for our consideration is message number 310 on House Bill 72. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message 310 concurrent request to House Bill 72 and would ask for your aye vote. On page 3, line 14, the Senate refined some language on comprehensive evaluations to include data from the longitudinal data systems. We don't have that system in place, but we will. The intent is to get that data system up and running. We have invested a tremendous amount into it. On page 6, line 9, there was some wordsmithing done to further define as inadequate, as in need of improvement. They struck the word unsatisfactory and replaced it with ineffective. I don't really know the background behind that. The second reading amendment that dealt with teacher of record, and we had some of the same conversation here in the House, was actually removed by the third reading amendment that really struck kind of a compromise position that would allow us to continue to look at how we're going to link student performance with the performance of teachers. And so I'm comfortable with the changes, especially with the third reading amendment. I think my position would be different if we did not have that third reading amendment that deleted the Schiffer Amendment. But I would urge your aye vote. I think it's where we need to be.
Any discussion? We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 72. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey. Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Simlick. Summers.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller. Aye. To no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 45 aye, 15 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 72. The next bill for our consideration, or next message for our consideration, is message number 311 on House Bill 81. Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move concurrence on message number 311 to House Bill number 81, and I'd urge you to vote aye for this amendment. What it does is take the amount for project grant on page 33. When it left the House, it was $410,000, and it takes it down to $350,000.
Any discussion? We are voting on Senate amendments to House Bill 8, or voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 81. Majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll. Representative Davison, did you move that?
I did.
Okay, all right. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Levins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt. Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton. Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 9 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 81. The next order of our business is bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
To speak.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate Files 5, 7, 22, and 64.
Reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File number 5 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to insurance, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File number 7 from the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to conservation districts, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File number 22 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to trade and commerce, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 64 from Senator Coe, an act relating to alcohol licensing, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Levins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 5, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 7, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 22, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 64, are there any changes? Baker, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Kirkbride, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Gingrey, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 45 aye, 15 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 5, 7, 22, and 64 have passed the House. We're at that order of business of third reading and final passage. Regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 31.
Senate File 31 from the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to veterinarians, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 31 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison. Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
Senate File 31, having received an affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 31 has passed the House. Representative Green, did you have a privilege of the floor? Okay. All right. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 36 from Senator Case. An act relating to insurance be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There are amendments. Representatives Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1, the Senate File 36, and ask for its favorable introduction and ask for a yes vote on the bill. After a lot of debate, what we did on second reading, if you'll remember, on Friday, was we changed up the wording of this bill to hopefully make it effective, to do a more targeted approach. In newspapers of circulation throughout the state,
instead of going for the complete removal of the and save $600,000 by just eliminating this. My concern was, by taking this new approach, we haven't had anyone call in 9 years. If we have another 4 years of this and no one calls and it's still not effective, I think it should go away. So what the amendment does is sunset it June 30th, 2017. At that point, if we're going to continue this practice, somebody would have to come renew the bill and say this is effective and working and helping consumers. I certainly don't believe it has for the last 9 years, and I'm optimistic the approach we're taking may work, but if it doesn't, I'd like this amendment on there to say we can eliminate it after 4 years of trying. And it would stand for any questions.
Any other discussion? Discussion. We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 36. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 36 passes. We're now vote on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 36. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 36 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is really just a technical consideration or correction. Some of you may have heard from your local newspaper folks this weekend, but essentially the department lacks the authority to assess for these, so this just clarifies that the department does the advertising and then essentially forwards the bill pro rata to the insurance company. So it's really just more technical correction than anything, but I'd take any questions if anybody has them. Otherwise, I'd urge you to vote aye.
Any further discussion? We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 36. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 36 passes the House. Senate File 36 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Blickery.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green. Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup. Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Harvey, aye to no. Patton, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Green? Okay. The vote is closed. 44 aye, 16 no.
Senate File 36, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 36 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 70.
Senate File number 70, introduced by Senator Geis, an act relating to civil actions, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 70 has 2 amendments. Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70. Mr. Speaker, what this does is add in a part of the restatement second, the one that we like, with respect to attractive nuisances that somehow is left out
of all the previous drafts. We went back to the restatement of the second, and the part that it adds in is Roman is shown as Romanette 4 on the amendment, and it strengthens the position of a landowner with respect to an attractive nuisance. It is a part of the restatement. They went back and looked. They can't figure out why it wasn't included in the draft that we did when we said we aren't going to reference the restatement. We're going to list the elements of the restatement, and that one didn't make it. So this is to correct that error, and I would urge you to vote aye.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And I appreciate the majority floor leader bringing this amendment and cleaning up that item that I pointed out on Friday. After a little bit of contemplation and thought, I decided that the will of this body needs to be respected. My arguments last Friday were really to defend the bill against the position of the other House, and I think that what we've done with this bill by setting out the elements, setting forth what we want to see in statute to protect our landowners is important, and I encourage you to support this amendment and the bill as amended by this body.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question on the bill that probably is, and everybody knows the answer to except me, but if you look at the proposed amendment on line 6, it said, a child because of his youth. And I've asked this question before, but I can't remember the answer. Why isn't it generic on that as opposed to his or her?
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. If you look in Title 8 of our statutes, there's a statute on statutory construction that says that reference to masculine means masculine and feminine, and it's been the tradition in this body just to refer to the his all the way through the statutes and then refer back to that statute. There's a great legislator from Natrona County who I think held Representative Walter's seat prior to coming down here. Who is the great grammatician and legislative historian, and that's just part of the tradition in our statutes. And to change it would mean doing a bill that would probably be 143,000 pages long, so we've just left it that way. Anyone else for your first time? Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 70. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 70, and I would ask for your aye vote. The way the amendment's drafted, it appears as though it's deleting more than it is. It's actually only eliminating Section B inside the second reading amendment. The rest of those deletions are simply renumbering. And as I read the second reading amendment, from my opinion, I would submit that it is not the responsibility of a landowner to exercise care to warn trespassers of danger. And I understand on page 2 of the amendment why we need to ensure that children are protected. But if someone is knowingly trespassing, I would submit that it is not the responsibility of the landowner to have any liability in that action. So I would urge your aye vote.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And this is fine to take out B because what my issue is, and I'll probably vote no on the bill, is we're putting stuff in, we're taking stuff out, we're sort of creating this bill here on the floor as we go, and to be honest with you, I'm still a little confused with what we're doing. I spent the weekend and actually went back, and I think I had said on Friday that the it had been, the draft was from 2009. They were still working on it. Turns out they actually did give final publication back in November of 2012. So it is out there, actually. But again, the restatement is just simply a statement by, it's actually two law professors are the, what they call the reporters, and they've been working on it for 10 years. They put out the restatement third. It doesn't mean your state has to adopt it. It's supposed to give guidance to the courts as to what the common law is throughout the nation. It doesn't mean it has to be the common law in your particular jurisdiction. And actually, the only thing our state's ever adopted is the child part. The one out dealing with children is the only one we've actually ever adopted. And it was in a case that actually our good majority whip was one of the attorneys for, I think one of his first cases in the Supreme Court. But that's the only one we've actually adopted as law in the state of Wyoming. So I think the amendment's fine. I just, I think we need to spend more time, and maybe this is an interim topic, but I'm just nervous that we're going to leave something out that we meant to put in, or we're putting something in we didn't mean to put in. And so I'd urge you to vote aye for the amendment, but consider voting no on the bill, and let's maybe spend some more time on this.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I just want to be sure that we all fully understand what's going on here. If we go back to the basics of the ownership of property and the law of torts, a landowner has a responsibility to oversee his property. He's a possessor, and he possesses it. And his failure to look after his property and to possess it is at his peril. And we used to have a situation where the public could even gain a prescriptive easement over the property. That's in question today. But the public, if the public uses a person's land and a person doesn't do anything about it, then at some point it constitutes acquiescence. And you say, okay, I own the land, but I'm allowing the public to use it. So now when you look at this amendment, it says that we're going to take away one of the fundamental duties of a possessor of real property. And notice on page 1 at line 22 of the second reading amendment, because what we're talking about doing here is striking from line 20 through line 35 on page 1 of the second reading amendment. We're talking about taking that out. And the restatement says is, and we changed that on line 22, we changed it to may be. So we leave some discretion with the courts there whether to impose this. We don't make it an absolute. But what we're saying is, if a landowner knows, or from facts within his possession, ought to know that people are using his property, they're intruding on a regular basis. They're I don't know, when we were kids, we used to cut through lots. We used to do a lot of stuff. I don't know if you see as much of that anymore, but I think you still do. And I think you see rogue roads that pop up sometime that cut across somebody's property going somewhere else. And if a landowner knows that that's going on, and he builds a man trap there, or he does something that, in the face of a pattern of intrusion on the property, he does something that makes it dangerous, then he can be liable for that. And I don't have any real strong feelings one way or the other on this, I guess, but I want to be sure that we all understand what's going on. And we all understand that the restatement of torts is a book where these law professors read all the cases, and they try to find all the cases on a particular topic, and they try to write some what we call black letter law. And they try to make a statement that says, when you take all these cases, all these various fact situations, and look at what's going on, this is a statement of how the courts are determining these issues. And so the restatement says, a possessor who knows or should know that trespassers are constantly, and it says constantly in there, intrude on a limited area of his property, he may be subject for bodily harm caused to them by an artificial condition on the property, not something natural, an artificial condition, if he's failed to exercise reasonable care to warn people of the condition and risk, and if the condition is one that he created or maintains and is with his knowledge likely to cause death or serious harm and is of such a nature the trespasser has a reason to believe or the possessor has a reason to believe that the trespasser won't discover it. So that is a very, very narrow exception to the rule that the possessor of property has no responsibility. And the thing that I want us all to understand is there are so many things in here that the possessor has to do in an affirmative way. First, he has to not pay attention to his property. He has to not tell people not to trespass. He has to create this thing. He has to know that it's likely to cause death or serious injury, and he has to believe that a trespasser won't discover it. Now, that's a really, really narrow exception. I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other, but I'll tell you, if a possessor of property did all those things, and you're the one that's cutting across that property or constantly, it says constantly intruding on it, and the possessor of property sets something up like that up, and he knows, he has reason to believe the trespasser won't discover it and it will cause death or serious injury, I just think we ought to ask ourselves whether we want to let the possessor of property off the hook under those circumstances or not. So I'm going to vote against the amendment. I would understand why others might vote in favor of it, but I just try to lay the issue out there so that we have a clear understanding of what we're voting on.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I haven't decided whether I'm on or for the amendment, but I want to give a real-world example to the last speaker's proposition. So on my property, I have a bridge that crosses a river that's next to a fishing easement, and the bridge is off limits. I post no trespassing on that bridge. People violate that trespass all the time. I'm not going to get everybody arrested on that bridge. Eventually, somebody falls off that bridge. You know, am I liable for that? And so I guess I have some concern that I don't know that it's as limited as the last speaker suggested. And I would ask that this body carefully consider this amendment. It might be a good one. Thanks.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to address the last speaker's concern is the second reading amendment is very clear. It's just the possessor has failed to exercise reasonable care to warn such trespassers. A do not trespass sign, a danger sign is enough. The amendment that I'm against really deals with and eliminates something that is common sense and exists in law today. And the fact of the matter is if you know someone is trespassing on your land, that's the first thing you need to know. And then something occurs that you're aware of on your land, and one of the items that is listed as an example is, for example, a storm causes a low-hanging power line or a high voltage power line to fall down to a point where a trespasser may run into that and kill himself. Well, if you're aware of that, the decent thing to do is put up a sign. And that's the only duty the landowners take with this. And I'm afraid by removing the Section B out of the amendments that we are making the bill untenable. And I want to remind you that the purpose of this bill is to protect our property owners. It's not to give them any more liability than they currently have. It is to prevent their rights from being diminished by the application of the third restatement of torts. And as we discussed last time, the third restatement of torts, which has been adopted by states, and which could very well be adopted by the state, but for this pending legislation, shifts the burden from non-trespassing in the policy reasons and only giving liability to landowners in very specific situations to a general duty of reasonable care. So the bill that we have is important to protect our property rights. This amendment, I think, erodes that bill to a point that it may not stand up, and I'd encourage you to vote against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Gay.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm just a simple country retired engineer. And having come from a long career in industry, we had standards imposed on us. If we were going to make a footbridge or whatever, we had to comply by standards of handrails, knee rails, foot rails, kick rails. If we were going to build a bridge, we had to make it as idiot-proof as possible. One of the previous testifiers mentioned a bridge on his property. And my legitimate question here, all kidding aside, is are private property owners in this situation, when they build a structure to be used, are they held to standards of construction that would comply with safety, such as the government would imply impose on industry?
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, this is really narrow. And in answer to the last question, they're not held to those standards. But what this says is, and if we repeal it, it won't say it anymore. What this says is, that somebody knows that there are intruders, constant intruders on their property, and they choose to ignore that. And if they fail to exercise reasonable care to warn people about something that's on their property that's dangerous, if it's one that he created and it's one that he knows is likely to cause death or serious harm, and it's one where he has reason to believe the trespasser wouldn't discover it, that's when this duty arises. I can't see that on a bridge. I just can't see it happening, even if there's constant intrusion on the bridge, constant trespassing on the bridge. Nevertheless, if he warns them that it's dangerous, then this doesn't apply. If he knew that it was going to cause death or serious bodily injury, this would apply, but it doesn't. And if he knew, and even beyond that, if he knew that it was had reason to believe that the trespasser wouldn't discover it would cause death or bodily injury, well, I just think that's a situation that doesn't fit here. And I wish I could dream up a situation that would fit in here, but I think it's so narrow, and it's such a so many things that a property possessor has to do to the best I can come up with is a man trap. But a bridge that's out there that has a sign on it that says no trespassing, private property, and it's a bridge that the rancher uses to go back and forth across the river just doesn't fit in here. And so it's much narrower than that. And it's really going to require some affirmative act on the part of a possessor of land that any reasonable person would say, well, you're crazy to put that out there and not warn people about it. You're going to kill somebody, and they can't discover it on their own. That's the thing that this is directed at.
Anyone else for the second time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I would reject the previous statement from the last speaker. All it says on line 23 is an artificial condition. An artificial condition is anything that you might construct. So we're not talking about somebody who intentionally builds a trap to try and trap someone. This sort of logic is the same reason why people who spill coffee in their laps end up suing the owner of the restaurant. My point is that it is not my responsibility as a landowner to warn someone who's trespassing on my property. If you're trespassing on my property, you are already violating the law. You're doing it without permission, and you should do it at your own risk. I would urge you to please vote aye on the amendment.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 70. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 70 fails. Senate File 70, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Yeah.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas. Northrup. Patton. Patton. Paxton. Petrov. Piperinen. Reeder. Simlick. Summers. Stubson. Teeters. Throne. Wallace. Walters. Watt. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Zwanitzer Dave?
No.
Mr. Speaker?
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Madden? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 50 aye, 10 no.
Senate File 70, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 70 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 73.
Senate File 73 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to unemployment compensation, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Representative Green.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Rule 7-3, I would like to lay back Senate File 73 for one day.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 o'clock.
Heard the motion. Are there any committee announcements? The committee chairman's meeting that was in room 302 upon adjournment will now be in room House H18. Representative Blake.
Your joint conference committee on Senate File 45 will meet with the like-minded group at the other end at noon. Thank you.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, number 7, corporations, will meet at noon to hear Senate File 142.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, number 1, judiciary, will meet right now up in room H8 to hear Senate File 34, Law Enforcement Academy, Director Duties, and we will discuss interim topics in preparation for meeting with the Senate judiciary on Thursday at noon to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow at noon, 10 minutes after adjournment, to hear Senate File 153. Also, your conference committee on House Bill 68 will meet at 1:30 today in the Senate Labor Committee Room, where we will discuss House Bill 68.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will be meeting tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock with the like committee from the other end of the building at room H11 to discuss interim topics. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet 10 minutes after noon recess today with the other body to go over interim topics in room H10.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your conference committee on message 303, House Bill 66, will meet at 1 o'clock on the Senate Minerals Committee Room.
Are there any other committee announcements? You've heard the motion. All in favor of recessing until 2 p.m., say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House is in recess until 2 p.m.